Hello, hello, everybody. Oh my gosh, it's the 8th of June, 2025. Welcome to your Sunday morning live. Let's go to the Church of Reason and kneel before Aristotle and the syllogisms. So it's a great ska band from the 70s. I mean, the 470s BC. All right. So questions, comments, issues, challenges, any riots in your area? Well, I mean, this is... That's why I'm out of politics, because things now are decided by force. Reason, like Elvis, has left the building. So there is to be no particular reasoning. At this point, it is simply being decided by matters of force, and that was fairly predictable. It was very predictable. And when the philosophers exit, right, when the philosophers exit, other people come in. Other people have to come in, and we don't have much to do with each other. I think it's a real shame. Thank you, Peter. That's a very lovely way to start off the live stream. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And of course, I did a whole documentary called Sunset in the Golden State. You can get it at freedomain.com/documentaries. I did a whole documentary on all of the disasters that were coming to California and all the reasons why. Except one, which I didn't put on film. Anyway, so I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a lovely weekend. I hope you are as sad as I am to be right about everything. As sad as I am to be right about everything. And yeah, you should watch the documentary. It's really quite good. Very good, in my humble opinion. I did three documentaries: Poland, Hong Kong, and California. And I'd like to do more, but unfortunately, the cost benefit, I was so heavily suppressed with regards to my Hong Kong documentary. Man, it was crazy, man. It was crazy. I mean, you could do a search for the exact title of, like, Hong Kong Fight for Freedom. You could do an exact search for the title of my documentary on YouTube, and it wouldn't show up. And I mean, I was so into the protests. I went with all the protesters and, you know, myself and the filmmaker, we took facefuls of tear gas and were coughing up our lungs and guts just to cover this all. And it was all very, powerful. And that's the nature of the state. So, yeah. And so, I mean, that's the problem with suppression, of course, is it changes your... Yeah, it even shows it on the book cover of The Art of the Argument. It's either reason or burning buildings. Yeah. What have I said from the very beginning? We either decide our issues on reason and evidence or force. There's nothing else. And the force can be sort of, you know, bullying and emotional abuse and all this kind of stuff. But that is still a fact. That's our only options. So how would we convince most people to not take all of the short-term handouts? So the promotion of hedonism exists in order to displace morality. And I mean, I've been thinking a lot about how I grew up. And the way that I grew up was I was offered all the hedonism in the known universe in return for not focusing on any moral absolutes at all. I mean, that's the devil's bargain. Go have fun. Go have fun. Go enjoy yourself. Don't you worry your pretty little head about moral absolutes. That's a fantasy. Morality is oppressive, you see, and feelings and dopamine and serotonin, they're all liberating, right? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law is the message of Satan. And I was offered all of that. I was offered all of that. I took it a little bit. And then I was like, this is shredding my soul like brie on a cheese grater. So you can't convince people not to take shorthand benefits. You can convince them to not go in that direction. But once they're in that direction, right? It's the famous cry of the welfare mom, right? Who's going to feed my kids? Who's going to feed my kids, right? How are my kids going to eat? You know, or like, and I don't mean to laugh because, you know, it is a human life and all of that. But if some of the USAID cuts, they say, oh, this girl in Africa died, because it's like, okay, so our taxpayers in, say, America, are the, you know, 8 remaining taxpayers in America, are they now foundationally responsible for every life in every country on the planet forever and ever? Amen. Like, if you're just working and trying to provide for your own family and trying to save and taking care of your aging parents, you are also now responsible for every life on the planet. In other words, the if it's some girl in Africa dies because there's some cuts to American foreign aid or USAID spending, and, you know, I don't really believe in much of it at all anymore. It's basically just a way of laundering money. And I talked about this, gosh, I mean, the round trip of the foreign aid dollar. I talked about this, I don't know, 17 years ago on the show, just about it. Foreign aid is just a way of getting money back into pockets in the host country. In this case, it would be America. So if a girl dies in Africa because of cuts from US spending, what does that mean? Well, of course, to the sentimental and to the emotional, it's like, oh, we should take care of everyone. But that's an addiction, right? People don't categorize pathological altruism as the most dangerous addiction, but it sure as fuck is. You know, how many men have ended up in jail or suicidal, or they have taken an alternate path to the future called being underground? How many men have had their lives destroyed because they want to save some woman? Or no, Captain Save-A-Ho is the coarse phrase for it, right? How many men have had their lives destroyed? How many women have had their lives destroyed because they can fix the drug addict, the alcoholic, the violent guy, the abuser, or whatever, right? The most dangerous addiction in the world, bar none, is pathological altruism. Which, and addicts put immediate emotional satisfaction above long-term survival. Now, the problem, of course, that's a heroin addict puts his own immediate emotional satisfaction for reasons of child abuse, as Dr. Gabor Mate has gone into in great detail, which I sympathize with, but we still have to deal with people as adults. So, at least the heroin addict destroys only himself and those around you. The pathological altruist, combined with the infinite power of the state, destroys entire civilizations. I mean, when I meet someone who doesn't have a grim sense of facts and reality, you know, well, if someone dies because someone else doesn't spend money, well, what is the local African government's responsibility? What are the local leaders' responsibility? What is the woman's responsibility? What is the family's responsibility? Apparently, it doesn't exist at all. It does not exist at all. They are, in the view, in this mindset, not that they are, but they are in this mindset, fools who can't manage their own affairs, and therefore, like children, need to be given, right? And this is what, this is the way that you get the largely female nurturing side, which is beautiful for children and terrifying in politics. You just, bad things happen. If someone else doesn't give people resources, bad things happen. Well, that's women. They didn't evolve to give resources directly themselves, right? Sustainable resources. They evolved to nag men into giving resources. And so that's what happens with voting and the state. So with regards, like, so some woman's got 3 kids by 3 different men, what's she going to do about the welfare state? Now, if the welfare state, and it will, mathematically, that which cannot continue will not continue. So the welfare state will absolutely, completely, and totally collapse. Like, everybody fix that in your mind. The current system is being detonated. It is not ending of its own accord, right? Current system is being detonated by very specific choices, which we've gone over a million times. So when the money runs out, the women, and in particular the children, will be happier, right? So how do women with a bunch of kids and no husband, how do they take care of their kids? Well, they either find a guy who's willing to pay, Or, which is much more likely, they all get together with a bunch of other women who also have a bunch of kids and no husbands, and they all take care of each other's kids, and then they all work, and they all produce things, and they live in a collective, and they're not as isolated anymore. Now, the welfare state breeds intergalactic isolation. You ever get this sort of feeling? I think William Shatner talked about this when he went into space, just how terrifying space is. Like, imagine, you know, you're halfway to Mars, and you would just get this freaky sense of just how far away you were from humanity as a whole. Like, holy crap, it would be so weird and eerie. If you've ever been, I got this feeling sometimes when I was working in the bush up north, which is actually a lot less fun than it sounds. But when I was working in the deep woods up in, by Nakina, when the, you know, just shortly before the trees start to thin out because there's not enough summer. And I'd be deep out in their bush and I'd be like, I am so far away from civilization, it's insane. You know, they always put these science fiction stories, the outer rim, you know, the lawless rim, the lawless outer rim, the outer planets, the outer arm of the galaxy or whatever. This is all the Nathan Fillion sci-fi stuff and all of that, the Firefly stuff, right? All out there, there's no rules and, right, this the edge of civilization stuff. And it's even more terrifying in the welfare state. And I know this from my own mother, who's, you know, been on the welfare state for decades and has no particular society, no particular community. Nobody cares about her. And it, to be alone is to go slowly mad. And sometimes not even slowly. Sanity requires constant feedback. Sanity requires constant feedback. You need people. We all have our crazy thoughts, right? We all have our deranged crazy thoughts and our sane and rational ones. And we need people's continual feedback in order to not go crazy, to not follow that rabbit down the hole and fall forever. So there's nobody more isolated than the welfare mom in the big city. Women will do what they have always done, find some guys and offer sex for money and resources. No, it's not going to work anymore. No, that shit doesn't work really anymore. For some women, right? For the top 5% of attractive women, sure. But men have meeting spaces where they exchange information. And men are less likely to date single moms anymore and give them a bunch of resources. So it would be absolutely healthier for everyone. Like this woman says someone says sarcastically, and I understand that. He says, Western women working cooperative together? Is that a joke? Well, have you ever heard of the Mennonites or the Amish or anything like that? Western women work together beautifully. They just have, you see, most people respond to incentives, not ideals. This is, you got to grind this into your bones and hopefully you can get to that answer a whole lot faster than I did. I had very little excuse, but it's still, I resisted it forever. Almost everyone responds to incentives, not ideals. We know this from the Milgram experiment. We know this from the experiment where somebody in a lab coat basically encourages people to continue the experiment, and over 2/3 of people will just kill people because they're told to. Like, they respond to incentives. Well, I want the approval of the guy in the lab coat, and I don't want to say no. And they're, you know, it's not human nature. We're broken. Like, you know, we're broken like those flimsy boards at a kid's karate competition. We're broken by the state. We're broken by education. Sometimes we're broken by religion into just being malleable, compliant foot soldiers and placid, accepting factory workers. So at least 2/3, and that's just that's with regards to, like, putting people 400 volts through people and potentially killing them. At least that's how the experiment was set up. So we know that the vast majority of people respond to incentives, not to ideals. Now, they'll talk about ideals. Ideals are fun to talk about. They're fun to reason about and think about, but not to actually do. You know, like, it's fun to read a diet book, and everyone's had that experience when you want to lose weight. Ah, this is a cool diet book, man. I watched this video about a guy who lives on juice and it's great. And, and then it's fun to read the diet book. Like, it's fun to read or watch workout videos. It's not so much fun to actually diet and then really go and work out hard. So women work together beautifully if it's in their best interest, as most people, at least in the current system, the current mindset, the current broken human spirit, they do what they're incentivized to do. Women don't have to work together. Women can be real witches with a capital B to each other because they can always run to the government for money. Asking people to be moral when there's a welfare state is like demanding an intense self-sacrificial work ethic from the privileged sons and daughters of almost infinitely wealthy people. So women don't need each other, so they can be bitches to each other. They don't have to cooperate. They can have their petty resentments. They don't have to get over anything. I mean, if there are two women, right, they live next door to each other, and let's say there's no welfare state, and they both require each other to watch their kids when they go out or go to work or whatever, right? Two single moms live next to each other, they got a couple of kids each, and they completely rely on each other. There's nobody else to watch their kids. There's no welfare state, there's no daycare that's free, there's no, like, nannies that are free, there's no subsidies. They need each other. Okay, they can't afford to get into some stupid spat where they just walk away forever. Most human relationships are based upon mutual dependence and productivity, mutual value, the exchange of mutual value. The welfare state eliminates all of that, all of it. And like, you got to understand, we look at people on the welfare state as poor, absolutely, absolutely wrong. And the only way to think of that is to not know about human history. Would you rather be the king of France in the 15th century, or would you rather be on welfare in the 21st century? I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close. I mean, so the people on welfare in the 21st century, and really since the welfare state was established for old people in the 30s, for everyone else in the 60s, they are the recipients of the greatest wealth in human history, bar, you know, like 90, they're wealthier than 99.99999% of human history. So those two women who really need each other, they will find a way to resolve their conflicts. They'll have their conflicts, but they're like, well, we need each other, so we'll find out a way to resolve our conflicts. But if they're all on welfare and they don't need each other, they can have all of the petty resentments and explosions and anger and self-righteousness and so on, right? Self-righteousness, which is like, I'm right just because of me and I don't need to conform to anyone or anything. That's all driven by independence. It's that old country song, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. My woman done left and took all the reasons I'd been working for. If you win the lottery, what happens to your work ethic? Do you need your boss? Will you resolve things with your boss? Will you make sure your boss is happy if you just won $20 million in the lottery? Well, no. And the welfare state historically is like $50 million because you have modern medicine, modern science, modern comforts, modern conveniences, modern modern money, modern, I mean, just crazy, right? So people on welfare historically are the wealthiest people, virtually the wealthiest people in human history, and they have won the absolute lottery. And so when you think of people on welfare, just think of people who have won the lottery. How entitled are they? How arrogant are they? How hardworking are they? So once they're in there, right, it's like trying to, you can say to someone, don't play the lottery, right? Lottery is a tax on mathematical illiteracy. So you can say to people, don't play the lottery. You're going to lose your money. And also, it's going to erode your work ethic because you're going to have this fantasy of money that's going to erode your work ethic and it's going to cost you way more, right? So you can say to people, don't play the lottery. What you can't do is say to people who just won $20 million in the lottery, don't take the money. And we look, again, we look upon people in the welfare state. And I grew up among welfare families and all of that. It's super comfortable. Super comfortable. So they are just about the wealthiest people around, and you have to look at people on the welfare state. And I mean, we're talking also about the wealthy have their own welfare state and so on. So, tax considerations and military industrial complex and access to politicians. So the rich have their own welfare, but we're just talking about the poor. The poor have won the lottery. The poor in the West have won the lottery, right? I mean, somebody who goes from the Middle East to, say, a European welfare state makes 30 times his income without having to work, right? That's winning the lottery, right? That's winning the lottery. That's going from making $20 an hour to $600 an hour. You don't think you'd make a big journey for that? And you don't have to work. So yeah, it's wild. So you can't talk people out of their benefits. You just have to wait for the collapse. But you can talk to people about not getting into those situations to begin with. All right, let's see here. You argue that people disbelieving in UPB does not free them from their conscience. A Christian can argue that disbelieving God does not free them from God's judgment. Right, but UPB is proven and God is not. So it's a little different. All right. Have reason and evidence ever been a realistic option on Earth? Aren't there way too many idiots out there? So, sorry, that's just not helpful. That's not helpful. And it's not smart. And you're a smart guy. I mean, I know you've been here before. So, you know, I expect you to do better, right? Guess what? Everything that's new never existed before. This podcast did not exist before I did the podcast. The internal combustion engine did not exist until it was invented. Neither did the steam train or the airplane, right? So everything that's new never existed before. So if you're saying, well, come on, man, you can't build an airplane. There's never been one in human history. You can't build an internal combustion engine. Has there ever been one in human? Who cares? Who cares what the fuck happened in the past? What matters is the future. Now, I get there's not a magic wand that is going to make everyone rational, because irrationality is so satisfying to people and is so well-funded by the state, because the state wants people to be irrational, so it stays dependent on the state. So I have a whole plan, which is peaceful parenting, which I've been working on for many years. And I did the numbers between 1 billion and 1.5 billion fewer assaults on children have occurred as the result of what it is that I do. So what I'm doing is, you know, peaceful parenting will raise rational children. I mean, not 100%, but it's a lot better than what it is right now. So peaceful parenting raises rational and empirical children. Because you reason, you teach the kids the language of reason rather than that of force. So that's what I'm doing. And what you're doing is you're just saying, yeah, well, it hasn't happened before, so it's not going to happen. It's like, okay, well, then those of us who are getting shit done will get shit done. And you will just say, oh, it's not possible because it didn't exist before, man. Okay, thank you for your contribution. We're just going to ignore you. I mean, people who want to get stuff, like people who are actually getting stuff done, the people who are just kind of nipping and snapping and, right, for every person who's in the arena getting things done, there's all the people in the crowd saying how they should do it differently and better, or it's not going to work, and right? So don't be one of these people who just tells people things aren't going to work. Be one of these people who get things to work. Be one of those people. Because the problem is you just end up with a bunch of other whiners and complainers and naggers. And I don't know why you'd want that. Why wouldn't you want to be around people who are getting stuff done? I'm getting an enormous amount done. I'm very pleased with it. All right. Man, you want to start your own business? Well, that business has never existed before in human history, so it's not going to happen. It's like, okay, I guess I'll go just start the business and stay away from you because you're just dragging people down, right? And I don't want you to, I'm not trying to nag at you. I'm just saying I don't want you to be in that situation where people don't want to be around you because you're just kind of negative and it's sort of pointless, right? All right. I really appreciate the answer, right, in alignment with my thinking on refusing short-term handouts. As a corollary, how can we convince people that a moral life really does end better? I'm having trouble forming up this second question. Apologies if it is not yet clear. Okay, let me just skip down a bit, see if he made it clearer. No, he went on to another topic. How can we convince people that a moral life really does end better. What do you mean by end better? Do you mean on your deathbed? Lots of moral people have a deathbed that's quite imminent rather than a long way down the road. Good men are slaughtered by rabid dogs in their 20s and 30s, and evil people live to a creaky Peter Cushing-style old age, right? Not that he was evil, but the characters were pretty old. So, I don't know what you mean by end better. You know, there's an old saying from Churchill. He says, democracy is the worst system of government except for all the others that have been tried from time to time. And maybe that's true. I mean, no government is better than government because reason and peace is better than force and coercion and enslavement. So a moral life really does end better. Well, if you live a moral life, you're surrounded by moral people. That is going to happen, right? If you live a moral life, you will, and it may be a grueling process. It sure as hell was for me. But if you live a moral life, you will be surrounded by moral people. And don't you want to live around honest people who have your back rather than people who lie and cheat and prevaricate and betray? Like, don't you want that? Why wouldn't you want to be around good people? Why wouldn't you want to be around people you don't have to lie to? Why don't you want to be around people you can trust? You can trust. You know, I hear about these relationships where, like, I'm going to need the password to your phone to make sure you're not cheating, you know? That's just awful. What a horrible, wretched, terrible existence. Because, you know, bad people are constantly complaining about other bad people. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be lovely to live in a world, to live in a social world where you didn't have to complain about anyone? When was the last time you heard me complain about my wife? I praise her from head to toe, which admittedly is not a great distance because she's Greek. But you have more fun around moral people. You have more relaxation around moral people. You have more trust around moral people. You make more money often around moral people because you don't have all the overhead of people ripping you off and betraying you from time to time or continually. You have less moral upset and emotional upset around moral people because they're not putting you down or manipulating you. Like, why wouldn't you want to be around good people? But the price of being around good people is being a good person. That's why I'm constantly telling people, don't be altruistic in that way. Don't be pathologically altruistic. Don't trust people who are untrustworthy. Don't give honesty to people who are liars. Morality is a relationship. Shun evil, embrace virtue. I mean, of course, evil people will tell good people that the good people absolutely need to provide resources to the evil people out of abstract blah, 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 right? Nope. That's just predation. That's just exploitation. More money and resources are stolen through language than guns. So the price of being around good people is being a good person, and the quality of life. I've been around good and bad people over the course of my life, man. And it's probably about equal now in terms of my adulthood. And being around good people, I can't honestly remember a friend or family member. I can't remember the last time I had any kind of significant conflict. We just get together, we have chats, we enjoy each other's company, there's a lot of jokes, and it's a great deal of fun. And I can't remember the last conflict I had with my wife. It's been years. I mean, honestly, isn't that better? I mean, isn't it better to have fun with and get along with people than to fight and fear betrayal all the time? Ew, gross. All right. Somebody says, I can talk of men who get involved in protecting a woman in public from a man, but it's her boyfriend, and then she and her friends turn on him. As the outsider, he ends up fleeing into a building to save his life. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a real shame that male protection has vanished. Like, the Me Too thing was an antinatalist thing. It was an antinatalist campaign to reduce the population of people with a conscience. Because the Me Too thing was like, oh, well, I don't want to bother a woman in public. I don't want to intrude. I don't want to, right? So there's a sensitive men with a conscience, right? The other men don't care. So it's just a way of further eradicating the conscience from society as a whole. All right. Housing stuff. Yeah, that's too obvious for words. How do you explain the groupie phenomenon in female nature? A normal woman will act like a complete whore around rock stars, sports players, and other celebrities. Oh, the groupie. I thought you meant like that they score higher in the trait agreeableness. Groupie phenomenon in female nature? Well, so in the past, right, in the West, in the past, if a woman got pregnant by a guy, he'd be forced to marry her. So throwing yourself at a man with a huge amount of resources was a pretty great way for a woman to end up with a lot of resources. And just because that doesn't happen in society anymore, and what was it, Will Chamberlain slept with 10,000 women. So each one of those 10,000 women were like, okay, if I can get this guy to have sex with me and I get pregnant, society will force him to marry me and I'll end up with millions of dollars, right? Now you can say, well, that's not rational, but we're talking about instinctual lizard brain urges that evolved over millions of years, right? So that's why. If I heard that right, moral life doesn't sell in a welfare state. Wow, thanks for that connection. Yeah. So, I mean, the welfare state is taking money from the responsible and giving money to the irresponsible. Whatever you tax diminishes, whatever you subsidize, you get more of. So you tax productivity, you get less productivity, you subsidize irresponsibility, you get impulsive, irresponsible people. So, with a decent intellect and welfare money, you can live an incredibly comfortable life. Oh, yeah. I mean, it does gnaw at your conscience not being productive, but all right. Do, 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 do. All right. Steph, I have a question related to women. I was in a group of women and saw this said by the owner of the group. Context: women complains. Woman complains about the Bible focusing exclusively on Jesus' paternal lineage instead of maternal. She said this disgusts her about the Bible. God, that's can I even see that? I might need to save this and zoom it in a little. That's a kind of faded, man. It's kind of faded. I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. You're going to give your sweet love to me. All right. Let's see here. Most of us know that the feminine has been erased and crave space to be made for her. What? Most of us know that the feminine... Stop telling me I want to edit my images. Okay. Most of us know that the feminine has been erased and crave space to be made for her. Okay, that's... What is she having, a stroke? It's important for us to face our wounds and triggers and really explore why this brings up hatred or disgust for the systems in place. Men get honor or recognition because women have the power. Honor does not equal power. Because of biology, women have a desirability factor. Men desire us more than we desire them. Men need us, especially our bodies, more than we need them. We have always had the power, which is why femininity is so targeted. The great lie was that we need the honor to have the power. It led us to handing over our power to get the honor. I don't know. Portrayed. This is just word salad. Yeah. This is a woman who's taking her emotional issues and confusions and trying to make them into some abstract argument, which doesn't work very well as a whole, and in particular for women. And I say this as a man who's been influenced by female thinkers enormously. So, what does she say here? Women have the power because of biology. So because men have a higher sex drive than women often, although I don't think that's true as a whole, but this is the general thought. Men desire us more than we desire them. Men need us, especially our bodies, more than we need them. Oh, is that right, honey? Okay. Okay, got it. So what you should do is you should go back to the caveman days and try and survive without a man. Just, you know, try and survive without a man. You don't need a man to build your hut. You don't need a man to build your fences. You don't need a man to wrestle the pigs. You don't need a man to protect you. You don't need a man to hunt. You can just do it all on your own. All on your own. come on. Women have this belief that they don't need men because what they take from men has now been automated and coerced. Right? So women believe that they don't need men because they run to the government. The government takes largely from men and gives largely to women and say, well, we don't need men. It's like, well, then you should reject tax. You should reject the welfare state and all other forms of government subsidies because they're largely funded by men. So anyway. All right. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate your tip. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Very much appreciated. All right. You're twice more likely to get hit by a bus on the way to buy a lottery ticket than to win. Yeah. All right. I was wondering your take on this. My husband and I broke it down, but I was wondering if you would pick up something we missed. Anyway, I left that group because the owner's sentiments felt icky. Yeah, I mean, when people, when women say, I don't need men, I mean, you only exist because of men, right? Because the sperm went into an egg, right? And sperm comes from the men. So you only exist because of men. Women who say they don't need men while driving on roads built almost exclusively by men, and they would be almost exclusively by men if it wasn't for all of these rules that you have to hire a whole bunch of people to hold the stop sign. But yeah, oh, we don't need men, which they type on the phone, built and designed by men, on the internet, built and maintained by men, and invented by men, and they drive on their roads, on the cars invented by men, and they go into the buildings maintained and built by men, to their comfortable office desk built by men, and the air conditioning system built and run by men. I mean, it's madness. It is a foundational lack of gratitude and a surrender to rank hate-filled ideology. We need women. Women need men. We have evolved that way. We got to the top, we're apex predators, we got to the top of the food chain because men and women complement each other perfectly. Somebody says, sounds like Steph is saying the environmental necessity will force people, women, to get along, which seems historically false. I'm sorry, it's the same guy. You don't know how to add things to an intellectual. So sounds like, okay, I just break it down. Like this, you gotta just work harder to contribute. Like this is a high level discussion. This is a high level discussion, and you don't let a guy into the orchestra who's just learning how to play the kazoo, right? So I'm saying this: you're a very smart guy, great language skills, but you need to up your game. Sounds like, okay, that's called a straw man, right? Do you need to quote back what I said and deal with that? Sounds like Steph is saying the environmental necessity will force people to get along. Okay. Did I ever say force? I gave you the example of the two women with children who rely upon each other for childcare, right? Woman A gives her kids to woman B when woman A is busy and vice versa, right? Now, if there's no welfare state and they really need each other to take care of each other's children, they're going to work harder to get along. Did I ever say anything about force? Did I ever say anything about anyone beating someone up or threatening them or pulling a gun? Did I ever say anything about force? Nope. So you're inserting something. When I'm talking about incentives, people have a greater incentive to get along when they really need each other, and they won't retreat into this petty superiority that destroys relationships when they don't need each other. Yeah. And I gave the example, if you won $20 million in the lottery, which is kind of the historical equivalent of the welfare state, if you won $20 million in the lottery, would you be as concerned about your boss being happy? No. Would you work as hard to make your boss happy and to do a great job? No. So, yeah, I mean, you can say, well, somebody would who's a workaholic or OCD. Okay, don't care. I mean, this is as useful as if, you know, 50 years ago I said, boy, funny to think I could have. But so 50 years ago, if I'd have said, we need to focus on reducing lung cancer, and the vast majority of people who get lung cancer get it from smoking or asbestos or whatever, right? Okay, so you say, well, but you know, half a percentage of people they get lung cancer without exposure to tobacco smoke or to asbestos, right? you deal with the majority, right? I mean, it's like saying, well, I can't open a steak restaurant because half a percentage of people in the neighborhood are vegans. Okay, let somebody else open the restaurant. So you strawmanned, and then you strawmanned again, right? Sounds like, right? If you're not going to quote me back, or really work to understand what it is that I'm saying. You're just typing stuff, trying to sound smart. And you are smart. That's the frustrating thing. You don't need to fake it. You are smart. You got to listen. If you want to address a high-level discussion, you need to understand the arguments and not just strawman yourself, which seems historically false without making an argument, unless you did. Unless you did. Let's see here. Okay, seems historically false. I don't know what that exactly means. And of course, okay, so it's always... he says, World War II, women were cooperative slash capable, but came from that culture slash functioning culture. Hard times don't improve shitty people. It usually gets them dead. World War II women were cooperative slash capable. Like, do you know the Rosie the Riveter? Like the, you know, we can do it. The Rosie the Riveter woman. She quit after a day, by the way. World War II women were cooperative slash capable. Well, there was a necessity there. So you're actually serving my argument rather than yours, right? So I'm saying when people really need each other, they tend to work together better. Sure. And so in World War II, women were being bombed. Certainly in go watch Mrs. Miniver, right? Women were being bombed and their husbands were taken away and they desperately needed each other in order for their culture to survive, as they were told. And to some degree, that was true, right? So. Well, when women work well together, as do men, when there's a necessity, right? I mean, you can go and watch Bear Grylls as The Island. The male and the female one are quite interesting, right? So some of the men, they just fight and they're petty and they don't get along, and then they just leave the island. What if you can't leave the island, right? Have you never been in a situation with a bunch of people around when there's a sudden emergency? Everybody just pulls together and differences are forgotten and everyone works on, right? So, all right. Living a moral life attracts moral people, creating a higher quality of life. Yes. Yes. Bum, bum, bum. All right. It's crazy. I saw a documentary, says someone, on a famous reggaeton singer. Said, I remember when we used to sit in the government yard in Trenchtown. It's a great song. The live version is better than the... And it's not no woman, no cry. It doesn't mean if you have no woman, you won't cry. It means no woman, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. He was the famous reggaeton singer, and he was mobbed by very attractive women begging, give me a baby, in front of the singer's wife. Yeah, for sure. You got a baby, get the resources, right? Women run the world low-key. Nope. No. The state runs the world and women outvote men. It's artificial. It's artificial. In a recent call-in, the caller mentioned behaving badly and cheating to get the other to break up with him. I know this thinking is fairly common, but don't understand why. Is it a fear of confrontation, less guilt to carry, or something else? Yeah, it could be a fear of confrontation. It could also be that and maybe the feeling is that if the woman hates you, is really angry at you, and is disappointed and bitter and just wants to get away from you, that you won't face anything particularly difficult or perhaps legal with accusations or something like that. So, thank you for the donation at freedomain.com/donate. I appreciate that. You know what, Steph? Keep trying, boomer. Oh, this is the same guy. Okay, that's fine. I'm nice to people the first time I meet them, and after that, I treat them as they treat me. So I'm trying to be encouraging. I praised your intelligence and your language skills and tried to get you to up your game. You're coming back with insults, so get lost. You're dead to me. He wrote, you said, removing the welfare state, women will get along. Play semantics if you want, but my point was legit. Removing the welfare state, women will get along. It certainly wasn't that simple. I said people respond to incentives. If people need each other, they're more likely to get along and they're more likely to work things out, right? But anyway, so I tried to be nice and encouraging, and to tell you where you went wrong, and praised your intelligence and language skills. You come back with insults. So without an apology, I'm going to completely ignore everything you say from here on in. All right. James says 0.5 vegans in the 0.5% vegans in the neighborhood would be an incentive for me to open a steakhouse. Yeah, for sure, for sure. I love to hear the singing voice coming back. Yes, yes, it's been months, man. It's been months. But you know what the nice thing is that because it's been months, my voice is a little fresh. Fresh. Exciting. Just got here. What are we talking about? Hey, if you could just start the movie again, man. Do you go to movies? Do you go to movies 20 minutes late, lean over to the people next to you who you don't know and say, sorry, what's happened so far? Who's this? Why is he fighting with that? Like, good Lord. Entitled or what? The welfare state of yesteryear was called marriage. No, because the welfare state is coercive and marriage is not. So it's like saying that the lovemaking of yesteryear was called rape. It's like, no, there's a totally opposite categories. Well, pardon me, LOL. No, it's just funny. I mean, it's just kind of funny. People coming in and saying, well, I'm 47 minutes late to the live stream. What's going on? And it's like, it's a little rude. I'd be honest with you. It's a little rude because it's kind of distracting for the people who are here on time. So, sorry, you're still dead to me. I'm still not reading or processing anything that you're saying. So, you can type if you want, but without an apology, you're dead to me because I didn't insult you. And you insulted me, so don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. All right. We're going to do, you know what? We're going to do a little bit more. I have the Jordan Peterson thing queued up, and I've really been enjoying going through that. I mean, yes and no. It's interesting, but it's also kind of painful. But what we're going to do is we're going to go. Yeah, what did I miss? Can I have some of your popcorn? All right. Vegan protest, best response is men start up barbecue across the road and start serving hot dogs and burgers. Yeah. 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 All right. I think I'm going to go donor only, and we can talk spicy stuff if you like. So we're going to go donor only, and if you want to join in that part of the conversation, you can just go to fdrurl.com/locals, and you can join in there. This is going to be recorded for donors. It's going to only go to donors. So we're going to go there in a moment or two, and I really do thank you for your support, freedomain.com/donate, if you want to help out the show, would very much appreciate it. And I got to tell you, this new book is so good. It's so good. Man, I've never had characters this vivid, and I've had some pretty vivid characters in the past. Freedomain.locals.com, sure, sure. Yes, but if you go to fdrurl.com/locals, you can try being a subscriber for a month for free, cancel anytime you want. I really can't do better than that. I give all the benefits and bonuses, and you can cancel if you don't find them to be of value. So, all right, let me just get back to here, and we're going to go to locals supporters only and update the stream. And we got 30 seconds to go over there, and I really do thank everyone. And if people want, we can talk spicy. I can read some of the new book, whatever is on your minds and thoughts. I have certainly been revisiting, and my daughter has made a fantastic case for going back on Twitter, which I talked about in the show before, and I do like to listen to really good arguments, and she just made a killer argument. And I'm not saying other people haven't. Maybe she just, because she's my daughter, it hit stronger or whatever, but she made a very excellent case for going back on Twitter, which I will talk about. All right.